Matthew chapter 10, verses 1 to 15. And if you're using a shelf Bible, you'll find them on page 974. Summoning his 12 disciples, he gave them authority over unclean spirits to drive them out and to heal every disease and sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, the son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. Jesus sent out these 12 after giving them instructions. Don't take the road that leads to the Gentiles, and don't enter any Samaritan town. Instead, go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, proclaim, the kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those with leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you receive, freely give. Don't acquire gold, silver or copper for your money belts. Don't take a travelling bag for the road or an extra shirt, sandals or a staff, for the worker is worthy of his food. When you enter any town or village, find out who is worthy and stay there until you leave. Greet a household when you enter it, and if the household is worthy, let your peace be upon it. But if it is unworthy, let your peace return to you. If anyone doesn't welcome you or listen to your words, shake the dust off your feet when you leave that house or town. Truly I tell you, it will be more tolerable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah than for that town.
Amen. Well, just a few brief thoughts as we do from time to time in Matthew's Gospel, meeting Jesus with Matthew. What do we see of the Lord Jesus here? And Bishop Ryle, whose commentaries I often use in preparation for these services, begins by saying, this chapter is one of peculiar solemnity. Well, that's old language. Very important. He is saying. He says, here is the record of the first ordination which ever took place in the Church of Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ chose and sent forth the 12 apostles. Here is the account of the first charge ever delivered to newly ordained Christian ministers. Never was there so important an ordination. Never was there so solemn a charge. And he has a point, I think. This is a key moment in the Christian church. This is, if you like, the beginning of the church in a sense. It's pre-birth. The church isn't really born until Pentecost, when these very men are set free by the presence of God, the Holy Spirit, to preach with if you will, untrammeled authority. But what these guys here are given is the authority of the Lord Jesus himself to go and do the very same ministry that he has been doing. Matthew makes that very clear. Summoning his 12 disciples, he gave them authority over unclean spirits to drive them out and to heal every disease and sickness. And those words and the repeated words in verses 7 and 8 match the words that Matthew has used earlier in his account. And remember, we're only sort of 8 chapters in, and the story of the Lord Jesus' ministry in manhood is only about 4 chapters old, because we've had the birth narrative until that point. And in those 4 chapters, Matthew has said, this is what Jesus is doing. He has come from God with power, with authority, to banish demons and to heal the sick, and using the same words, the Lord Jesus commissions his disciples, the 12, and sends them out. My friends, it's very rare to find a boss who gives you absolute authority, who gives you the full measure. You know, even the best boss in the world, I put my hand up and say, I'm not very good at this. I don't like letting go. I love to know what's going on, and too often I like to have my hand too hard on the tiller. You don't need to nod too much, everybody. I know we know this is a problem. We're working on it. But the Lord Jesus here sets his disciples free. He gives them the same ministry. He gives them the authority, his authority, to go. And he'll say to Peter at another place, what you bind on earth is bound in heaven. And he'll say in the Great Commission at the end, all authority on heaven and on earth is given to me, and now I send you. This is not a one-off. This is not an accident. This is the Lord Jesus' method to give first to the apostles. And then I would argue to the church today, those who carry the message, the apostolic message, the written account of the Lord Jesus, those who share the Bible, we bear the same authority. This word, the testimony of the Lord Jesus, is still powerful to do the same things, if that is his will, in any time and place. So the first thing is authority. And the second thing we see is the urgency of the message. The urgency. The Lord Jesus singles out the Israelite community over the Gentiles. This is just a temporary thing at this time, and Matthew's gospel will unwrap that. So we don't need to worry about that. Jesus is focusing the mission. And as he focuses the mission in verses 6 through 8, the kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. There is a great urgency in the command that Jesus gives. There's a great sense in the following paragraph of explanation that if people don't want to listen, that's okay, that will happen. But if you have accurately communicated the message and they don't want to listen, move on. Because this message is urgent. And many need to hear it. Now, that's a time-limited message for them. There's a sense in which we too should move on, but there's also a sense in which we must be patient and prayerful and diligent in keeping contact with people God gives us regular with. We don't give up too easily. But let's never lose sight of the urgency of this message. What we cannot say is that there is no one near us who needs to hear this message. There are many friends, neighbors, family members who don't understand and who are not showing an interest. They need to hear. We need to share with them. We need to go in Jesus' name and proclaim him using his word, because it is powerful still to save. And we see at the end that two responses are expected. There will be some who welcome you in. A worthy person means a suitable person, perhaps a sympathizer, but not just one who is in tune with the message, but one who is in tune with the opportunity. They've actually got the space. It doesn't necessarily mean that they are the town worthy. It's the person who's got the space to house you and is willing to house you. Somebody who's on your side, who's willing to help. And there are those who will listen and join in and support the work. And tragically, there are those who will reject it. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, leave that home or town and shake the dust off your feet. It will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. We're taught, therefore, as I borrow again from Bishop Ryle in this last place, that it is the most dangerous thing to neglect the offers of the gospel. It will prove more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in Judgment Day than for those who have heard Christ's truth and not received it. This is a doctrine of Scripture that is fearfully overlooked and one that deserves serious consideration. We find it very easy to forget that you don't have to be a great sinner in order to ruin your soul for eternity. One only has to go on hearing without believing, listening without repenting, going to church without going to Christ. And by, we find ourselves lost for all of time, for all of that which is to come. We shall have to give account of our use of religious privileges. So to hear of the great salvation and yet neglect it is the worst sin, one of the worst sins that a man or a woman can commit. What are we going to do with the gospel? That is the question that everyone who hears or reads this passage should put to their conscience. What are we going to do with the gospel? It will not save us to have lived in the full sunshine of Christian privilege, to have heard the gospel faithfully preached each week. We need to know Christ personally. We need to receive his truth. We need to have that relationship with him, become his servant, his disciple. Without this, the preaching of the gospel only adds to our responsibility and increases our guilt and at length sinks us more deeply towards hell. These are hard sayings, but this is what the Lord Jesus says. And they are a challenge to us. And indeed, to those of us who do believe, I think they should press us with the urgency of what we say and the vital need to be good communicators of the Lord Jesus Christ, to remember that we go with his authority. We don't need to go gently or quietly or diffidently. We may go boldly, as we are called to do, because Christ sends us with his authority. Father, as we read this word, we thank you for the privilege of being sent with your full authority, Lord Jesus, to carry the full message of your word. We praise you for being trusted with an urgent task. But the burden of the results are serious. Our Father, there is a certain frightening element of what we read here. And we pray that you would first and foremost use us well. Let us be diligent in our use of your authority. Let us indeed understand the urgency and give time to your work and be good at it as we can. And Lord, we pray for those who hear the message. We understand there are two responses. And we pray, our Father, that we would know many who choose for you, who love to hear about the Lord Jesus and go on to get to know him, repent of their sin, admit that they are lost, and turn to know your love. We pray for our friends who we know who have as yet rejected your message. Not those who are still thinking, but those we know who've turned from us and said, no more, I would hear no more. Father, it hurts to know there are those in our family who would not hear of you. Our friends who would not hear of you. Would you give them another chance? Would you come to them again? Would you draw them to yourself? Would you be gracious to them? Our Father, please, give us a chance to speak to them. Hedge them in with others who love you. Let them not escape. Indeed, this day, this Sunday, we pray, they might think it should be different. It's the Lord's day. And seek for you. Our Father, we pray you would help us to be as the disciples are in this passage, to sit light to the things of the world, to trust you to provide and to go where you send, and to be useful for you in your kingdom work, your ministry, the taking of the gospel message to the world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.